And then Sunday, this past Sunday, we were able to look in God's Word, and we saw a man who was doing a whole lot of boasting and bragging. He was talking to himself, but in wrong ways. And we talked about the importance of how we think and what we speak. And unless the Lord redirects me, Sunday's message is going to be all about our internal dialogue and how the Holy Spirit wants to work with us with that. But it's another way of saying it is how to deal with those voices in your head. And but tonight, prophesying to your own soul. There's just sometimes that we need to say some things to our own soul. We find this in Scripture very clearly. Psalm 103, this is a psalm of David. First few verses, I'll read those for you. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now here he is talking, making a declaration that has now become inspired scripture for us. And because it was inspired of God, David practiced this. It's recorded for us here. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name." And he continues by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And I'll stop there. What I want you to see is the number of times that David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us that he who prophesies edifies, encourages, and comforts. David here is speaking to his soul and saying, "So I want you to bless God." He said, "I want everything within me." He's calling his internal world into alignment with one of the creative purposes of God for his life. He and you and I, we all have been created to bless the Lord and to praise God. Our lives are to be oriented in him. He's the ground zero of our life. In him we live and move and have our being, Paul declared, borrowing from something that was known among the philosophers of his time, but yet he understood the truth of it and declared it in Scripture. God is our source. And so David, as we need to sometimes, we need to prophesy to ourselves. Sometimes you may even need to begin to say what you're going to begin to say. You have to start there. And so that's what I want to talk to you tonight. I think sometimes even praying in the Spirit, I believe there's so much that takes place when we are actually praying in the Spirit. And I believe some of those times it may be the Holy Spirit leading us to pray the things over our own life that need to be prayed. And obviously, he leads us in praying for others. We get to partner with God in a lot of things in the realm of the Spirit through that way. But we can also very much knowingly prophesy to our own soul like David did. In John 15:3, Jesus told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Isn't that something that Jesus told them? What I have spoken to you, the words I have spoken over you, they have made you clean. So with that in mind, then why can we not take the words that have been spoken and have been recorded of the Lord in Scripture and speak those over ourselves. Declare those promises over our life. Prophesy those promises over our life. And we read a scripture that tells us what God wants to do for us, in us, through us. Then we can take that scripture and prophesy it over us, because we know that's God's will. So through that, I'm using the word prophesy tonight because we're talking about appropriating the promises and the truth of God's word and bringing ourselves, calling ourselves into alignment with that. Speaking something, knowing that in speaking it, we are participating in bringing it to pass. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So sometimes I need to preach to myself. Now, Eddie, you know, and I can hear and I can declare the word over my life. And even that will build my faith. This works. This is practical. This is helpful. So I encourage you to give some weighty thought, to, if you are not already, to incorporate in your life the practice of prophesying to your own soul. Now, not just to your own self, your own soul, but other things too, and I will touch on that when I get to the conclusion. I want to also relate that not only can we prophesy like David did here, but even singing is a way that we can prophesy truth over our own life. It's a way that we can declare truth over our own lives. And I will say to you that it is even the intention of Scripture for that to be so. I'll give you an example. In Psalm 18, in the prescript to that psalm, that is that section that tells us what the psalm is about, how they formed it, why they formed it, how it's to be used. In Psalm 18, this says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." Now, I'll read on in a moment, but this is, David was writing a song. And so he takes what he's written and he gives it to the chief musician. In other words, it was to be put to music. His words were to be put to music. And it goes on to say, "A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So it gives us a context. Now, isn't this interesting? David writes this song as a result of a deliverance he had just experienced. And maybe that's something we should take to mind. That when you get a breakthrough, what a wonderful time to just sit down and write in words what God has done to you. Now, you may not have a chief musician, and I'm not necessarily telling you to flood Andrew's mailbox and say to our worship leader, if you got a song, share it, yes. But take that. Maybe you can put your own tune to it, and if it's just an audience of one, give God some praise by singing your own song of breakthrough or deliverance or testimony as a result of what he has done for you. And I believe that will put an will brand your soul, so to speak, a memory marker of what God did for you. And a lot of the songs that we sing, if we knew the story behind them, that's how they came about. So that's, let me read some of that psalm, by the way, that I told you that David wrote when he got freed up finally from Saul. Here's how he started it. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Notice how he's declaring that. "My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He wrote this because he had just gotten delivered from his enemies. Now, make this connection. David wrote it after he got his deliverance. And we know it's inspired what he wrote. So if you're needing breakthrough, if you're needing to live, if somebody's breathing down your neck like Saul was breathing down David's neck, or maybe it's a health issue and you feel like the enemy's attacking your health and you're needing breakthrough, or financial breakthrough, or breakthrough in a relationship, fill in the blank. It can be a million different things. Knowing that David had this relationship with Saul that had gone really south on him and become soured, and Saul actually sought to kill him, but God gave him the breakthrough in that situation. And instead of our, if we're in a situation similar, maybe somebody's not out to kill you, but they sure are out to make you have an uncomfortable life, then you can take the truth that David expressed having received his breakthrough and testifying to it, you can take the truth of that and begin to prophesy it over your situation and over your circumstance. Lord, like David loved you, I loved you. Lord, Saul was after David and you gave him the breakthrough. You know the situation I'm in. You know this thing going on at work. Lord, you know this thing going on in the family. You know, Lord, you know the deal with our finances right now, whatever it may be. And so, Lord, I thank you. You're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're my strength. I'm putting my trust in you, O Lord. You're my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I'm calling upon you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. I'm praising you, and I thank you that I'm going to be saved from this situation. And there's much you can add to that. You can begin to speak to that mountain like Jesus taught us and prophesy. I thank you, Lord, that you will supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I am healed. I thank you, Jesus, that you've told us to be reconciled to one another, and the ministry of reconciliation is at work in this relationship. Learn to prophesy God's truth over your own soul, over your own situations, over your own future. And there's so much power in this. We can speak to the mountains in our lives. And there's no getting around it. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus taught his disciples to do this. He said, if we speak to the mountain and we doubt not in our heart, the mountain's going to have to move. What's your mountain tonight? Begin to prophesy your victory. Begin to speak to it. Now, going back to Psalm 103, David's calling his soul to get into a line, not to forget all of God's benefits. Why did he say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits"? Because we can tend to forget it and not appropriate those benefits. So going back to that, needing to call our own soul into alignment, before you start hollering across the holler at that mountain, speak to your soul and get your heart in the right place. Call your faith up to report for duty, to do some prophesying. Make sure there's no bitterness, no unforgiveness. You know, best you can, Jesus said, you're clean through the word I've spoken. You let the word cleanse you. And then start engaging the mountain and speak to it and prophesy to it. Paul wrote in the Philippians, when he's talking about his journey, he knew how to be abased, he knew how to be abound, how to have much, how to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. That's a declaration. I mean, he's talking about being in those circumstances when he had needs and you know, he said, here's what I learned. I learned to be content In other words, he learned not to get bent out of shape in any situation, because he could do all things through Christ, who was his strength. That needs to be our go-to response instead of our Adamic response. That's our natural default. Complain, criticize, whine, moan, murmur. No, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are called to engage life in the realm of the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. You are one who has been given a measure of faith that you can use that faith. Start speaking God's word. Activate your faith. There will be some power on that word. I mean, that thing can get so hot, you're going to need your oven muffins to handle it. You know, and then you can see things start to change. Prophesy, decree, declare, confess the word. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. You can almost feel David just shaking stuff off, getting himself in line, ready to get with it. Because we all know that often, before we can step out and overcome, very often there's just a resistance inside of us that we have to overcome. And what I am talking to you tonight about prophesying your own soul is a key to be able to facilitate you to more quickly overcome that internal resistance that can hold you back from just doing it God's way. In other words, you know, I may not feel like doing this. I may not want to do this, but I know God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm not going to trust my feelings. I'm not going to trust what the devil's whispering in my ear. I'm not going to let my emotions be the engine of this train. I'm going to let the truth of God, the word of God, and my faith lead the way. And even saying that, I mean, talking to yourself like that. Now, if you're out in your front yard doing that, you can put your earbuds in. Somebody will think you're just on the phone. And you can just preach to yourself, right? We all have times we need to do this. Prophesy and declare to yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. I prayed that earlier. I like this because it calls attention to the fact that we're spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And so what I'm talking and sharing with you tonight, you can even take these three dimensions of your being and you can begin to speak to your spirit man. Actually, that's more like just letting your spirit man start to talk. And you can speak to your body. I very much believe that by declaring and prophesying the word, reading the word, saying it out loud, it can facilitate healing in our body. And it's important for us to understand that. And our soul, our emotional world, our souls, our mind, our emotions, our reason, our will, our imagination. There's a lot going on in our soul. But at the core of that's our spirit. The Zoe, eternal life of God, the Spirit of God dwells inside our spirit. We're made in the image of God. And so through our prophesying and declaring in faith, the spirit life in us is being led by the Holy Spirit, and we're releasing heaven on earth in this way. We're engaging the realm of earth with the resources of heaven in this way. We're calling forth and operating out of the strength and power, the supernatural power of God in this way. And as a result of it, we see things happen that we know cannot happen just by us doing it. It's because of the exponential increase of power when the Holy Spirit's working through our lives. I'd encourage you to prophesy not only over yourself, but over your spouse, over your marriage. And men particularly. We are called to this. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 5. In that passage begins at verse 25 about husbands, love your wives, Christ loved the church. Paul goes on to say in verse 26, he says this about you are washing just as Christ loves you, and with the washing of the water of the word, he is able to present, he is going to present a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, Jesus models this for we who are husbands. The Bible tells us that Jesus, just like he told his disciples, you are clean through the word I've spoken to you. This tells us he continues that ministry through the washing of the water of the word to deal with the blemishes, the spots and wrinkles in his bride, the church, we who are believers. He does that for us. And we who are husbands are called to love our wives in this way. Now don't use it as an excuse to preach to her. Lord, I pray you'd straighten this woman out laying in this bed beside me. Oh, Lord, please work on her temper. Oh, Lord, I'm not talking about that. You'd be sleeping by yourself if you commence that. But seriously, wash her with your words. Bless her. I know Mickey and I, my wife, she's with our preteens and students tonight helping teach them. But we begin our day in the word and in prayer, and every night as we're going to sleep, I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Primarily, I do that at night. And I try to include every night just one of the last things I pray for is I pray for her. And I thank God, she's not in here, so I'm not embarrassing her, but I thank God for her. And I any healing issues that I'm aware of, I pray for that. She's been having trouble with one of her knees. I pray for that and a couple of other things, and I pray that over. And just express before her in the Lord's presence how much I love her and what she means to me. And I'll tell her that directly as well. But to me, that's how I can obey Ephesians chapter 5. Because husbands are told this is what Jesus does for his bride through the washing of the water of the word. It also means being able to voice agreement with the scripture about what God wants to do for her, to bless her. You know, to give her wisdom. She's a professional counselor, to give her wisdom as she meets with people day in and day out. And ever how the Lord may lead. And you don't have to do a long prayer. But I encourage you to do that. And there are times that she will, at other times she will pray for me. And the husbands here are instructed. But it doesn't mean that we can't pray for one another in this way, obviously. Even brothers and sisters in Christ, we can encourage each other in this way through our prayers. And that's one reason we believe in being able to have opportunities to pray for people, is to be able to wash people with the water of the word, declare the word over them, prophesy the word over them. It's like sometimes it's like pouring water over a wilted plant, and you can just see people coming alive under the anointing of the Spirit on the Word of God, coming forth for them in their moment of need. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Learn to prophesy and declare over your children. And there's a two-edged sword, and both blades are good when you do this. Number one, the Lord's going to honor that word that you are declaring, confessing, prophesying over your children. But here's what you'll also discover. As you do this for your children in their hearing, they'll begin to learn how to do it for themselves. We experienced this with our children, and I remember our two youngest children, Elliot and Nathan, they were still pretty young when we moved to Florence area, and they were in Shoals Christian. And I think Elliot was, this was the year he was in third grade. Well, before they left the house in the morning, a lot of times I would pray over them, or if I carried them to school, I'd pray over them in the car. If Mickey carried them to school, she would pray over them in the car. And we'd usually pray something like this. You know, boys, today, we just remind you, you're the head, not the tail. You're blessed when you left the house this morning. You're going to be blessed when you come back home. You're going to be blessed throughout this day. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, so you're going to have courage today. He's given you power, love, and a sound mind. And He's made you to be overcomers. You can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. And there's just a number of scriptures. We're just prophesying the word over them, confessing the word over them. Well, sometime there in that school year, the teacher bumped into Mickey, and she said, I want to ask you, can you write down that prayer you pray for Elliot? And Mickey said, what? Can you write that down? Mickey said, what are you talking about? I said, well, in class, he's got this prayer that he's done a few times, and he says that's what his mom and daddy pray over him every day. He had just learned to do it himself. And so there'd be times in the car when we'd start and they'd just chime in with us. And this is a way that we can pass the truths of God's word on to them too. That's the reason it's important for them to participate in worship and know worship music. To have the sound, the music, and the word together, it can be a powerful, powerful influence in a person's life. There's so many things. Let me share one more little thing, and then I'll conclude here. But just the whole thing about prophesying over yourself and what is yours, like your spouse, your children. I would encourage you, even your property, your house, to prophesy over your land. The last two houses that we have built, many of you have heard the series of miracles that culminated in us building our home in Hadel, and then when we built a new home here 17 years ago now. Wow. And both of those homes, when we were building, I ran off scriptures on my computer and cut them up in little slips of paper. And before they poured the concrete, I put them in the bottom of the ditch. You know, when the walls went up, I ran them off on computer labels, like for envelopes. I'd run scriptures off on those labels. I'd stick them to the inside of those two befores. And I put it over the headers, over the door, the lintels over the doors, and up in the roof. I put some on the side of the rafters and so forth. You know, when the windows, before they put the windows in, I put a scripture right there. I wanted the word, and you might say, well, that seems a little hokey or ritualistic. No, just believe the word, and that was a prophetic act that, you know, this house to rest on the truth of God's word. And then even before we built the house and we'd bought the land, and one of the first things I did, I went out there and I dug a hole in all four corners of that property, that 10 acres that we have. I dug a hole on all four corners. I took anointing oil, and I poured anointing oil in that hole. Now, I can't give you a scripture. I can give you a scripture about using anointing oil, and this is more of a prophetic act. But I poured out oil on the ground, and then I ran off scriptures, and I put a scripture down in the hole with the oil and drove a stake and stood on every corner. And I stood on the corner, and I'd look to the east, and I'd pray and prophesy over that property, and I'd do it this way. I'd go to the next corner, and I'd do it in both directions. I'd prophesy until I went around that whole property, sanctifying this will be a place, Lord, where you're honored, where you're worshiped. People that drive on this property, they'll be blessed. Lord, we have supernatural protection on this property because the angel of the Lord is going to encamp around about this place that we live. And I just prayed in that manner, just taking God's word. like you would put a bullet in a gun and firing her off. And it's powerful. So I'd encourage you to do that. And I have numbers of stories where I could share with you people who were having disturbance issues in their homes related to spiritual activity that was unholy, demonic activity, and how taking authority, cleansing and anointing and praying over the house, and then it completely stopped, go away, no more problems. I believe in that. And that's about utilizing your authority and standing on God's word. So I hope you find this helpful tonight, applicable. And just think on this and step into it. Prophesy to your own soul. Prophesy to those mountains. Prophesy to your spouse, your children, your property. Don't underestimate what happens when you use your God-given voice to release a God-given promise into an earthly situation and see a God-sized answer come as a result of it. We are created as believers to operate and function in this way. Amen? Amen. Andrew, if you guys will come. As they're coming, would you just bow your heads a moment where you're seated? Just be comfortable there for a moment.